We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning because we're not going to have a message as such. We're going to have three little spots brought to us by the Lord. One of them, the first one, is from Anne Hickey, our sister in Christ who's been away from us for a while. The second one is going to be a short word from myself, and the third one is from Maggie, and that'll be we're going to enter into a time of worship and hearing from the Lord. I'd like to ask Anne to come out.
Thanks, Richard. We're good to go. So, well, hi, everybody. It's good to be back. Hey, I have a confession to make. We attend two churches in Cambodia. So I've got three church families now, which is fantastic. The more the better. So I'm just going to have a very quick talk this morning. And I was just going to address this question. I went out to coffee with a dear friend the other day and she said, Anne, what are you doing? And why are you doing it in Cambodia? And so how long are you going to be there for? When are you coming back? So I'm going to try and answer the first two questions. So I can definitely tell you that on a Wednesday morning, I'm at coffee chat. Every Wednesday morning, and that's with wigs, and it's a women's group. We don't wear wigs. It's an international group, and it brings together women from 35 different countries around the world, and we just sit around listening to each other's stories, basically. So the first lady that I sat next to was Ruth, and Ruth has been in this country for 20 years or so. She speaks fluent Khmer, so I take my hat off to her. So when she arrived, she's just an everyday person, so she planted a church. That's what you do. Once that was going, she got this house of prayer going, which is still going now. If you haven't been to a house of prayer, it's a really special place to go. Once that was going smoothly, she founded Daughters of Cambodia. So that's what I do. I work at Daughters of Cambodia. So just to give you an idea what Daughters is all about and a snapshot of Cambodia, Daughters, because people are not for sale. So Daughters of Cambodia has just had their 17th birthday. They've been going for 17 years. So when Ruth came to Cambodia, God spoke to her and she felt that God was telling her to get involved in the sex trafficking industry. So they do a red light outreach. They go out to all these places where the women are and they offer them an alternative. The first thing that they do is they offer them a job. Sewing factory, they've set up a sewing factory. They sell their products online and at a gift shop. Women's products and men's products, amazing jewellery, T-shirts, screen printing, wood production, because men are coming out of this industry as well. So they also do spa tours and all sorts of beauty things like massage. Step two, recovery. Counselling, social work, medical treatment. We have a nurse. We have three psychologists. Here's our nurse on the job. Lots of therapy. Art therapy is always popular. Renewing the mind. Discipleship, life skills, mentoring and lots of training. Life skills education. Anything you can think of. There's workshops. Health ed workshop. And this one's bacteria, hygiene. Haha. Childcare training, and they're training the parents to reduce risk, break cycles of abuse and trafficking, re-entering trafficking. They have a daycare centre. A lot of these clients have lots of kids. Self-defence classes. I've never had to use my skills, but every Monday morning we have a daughter's church, which is just amazing, in Khmer and English, and lots of Christian programs. Daughters is a Christian organisation. Intercession training twice a week. Discipleship classes. our staff. We have lots of volunteers and lots of the clients are now in management and training other people. That's just a quick one. The way Daughter Survives is through sponsorship. So if you want to get involved, sponsor a girl, make a one-off donation, volunteer your skills, pray for us and tell others, and we have a newsletter. This is just a testimony from one of the clients who work with Daughters, and she says, Daughters has helped me a lot. Before I thought that I could only work in the red light district, I felt that my life was in the dark. At Daughters, I have value. Now I've opened my eyes and see hope and light. I thought that my only skill was sleeping with men, but now I know that I have lots of skills. I can work in a spa, do hair and makeup, do machine sewing to make products, take photos, do screen printing. I feel dignity and worth. I have friends and community. Daughters has told me to have, has taught me how to have a new life. So that's a very typical testimony of clients working with us. We have about 35 girls at the moment, but there's capacity for more and more there. So that's Daughters, and I work at Daughters, so a typical day for me is not typical. The day before we left to hop on the plane, we got a text to say that one of the girls had been raced off to hospital and she'd had an emergency birth, but she gave birth to two, not one. They were twins. So twin one was 900 grams and twin two was 1 kilo, and they were 2 months preemie. So a group of us from Daughters hopped in a tuk-tuk and raced off to the hospital, and we found a room and there was like three other mothers there, with each one with 10 support people, children and grandmas and all the rest of it. So we carefully stepped over all these people and made our way to the back of the room where our friend was, and she was not happy. So we were able to just pray for her, encourage her. We had the Daughter's nurse with us. So she gave her a 1-minute tutorial in how to express milk and how to parent. And then this nurse contacted the doctors there and said, we really, really want mother's milk to be used for these babies who are somewhere in the hospital in special care. They weren't letting the mother see the babies. But her biggest sadness was that the hospital was going to charge her $2,000 for all the fees for giving birth to these babies. And this was a lot of debt that she would have incurred. So one of the things is Daughters, if you work for this agency, they give you full health cover. So Ruth was able to get that health cover going, and the mother was able to leave the hospital with no debt incurred with the birth of her babies. So baby one, 900 grams, is doing well. Baby two, Jeremiah, 1 kilo, is still struggling. So if we could have your prayers for Jeremiah, that would be wonderful and well appreciated. So when I'm not doing that, I work in sponsorship with Daughters, and that means I get to communicate with sponsors and help make newsletters and track money that's coming in to Daughters. So in a nutshell, that's a typical life. That's why I live where I live, and that's why I like living in Cambodia. You'll have to read between the lines a bit there. And yeah, I'm going to leave it at that, but if anybody wants to do coffee chat later on, I'm here to listen to your comments or ideas or questions on the program.
I have a friend called David who in the late 70s and early 80s, we taught together at South Grafton High School. And David was an art teacher, and I was an industrial arts teacher, and the art room was right next to the wood room where I taught. And David and I became good friends. And sometime, I think, in the late 70s, after having two children, his wife died. And in the process of his wife dying, they both came to the Lord. And they earnestly sought after the Lord because they wanted to know where Val was going. And both of them came to faith at the Uniting Church in Grafton, in the main street there. And so powerful was the touch on David's life that he went then on into pretty much full-time ministry. And David used to pray for me because it was a good 10 years later that I came to the Lord. And he used to tell me about Jesus. And because I had so much respect for him as a mate, I used to listen, but just think pretty much it was a thing for David. And David confessed later when we, after I came to the Lord, that he'd been praying for me every day for 10 years. And Carol and I had a house in Grafton, and we used to get a cleaner that used to come in once a week, and she would confess later after I came to the Lord that she prayed for us every day and prayed for the children and prayed around the house. And this process of coming to faith in God, I found and came to understand that it belonged, or it involved, sorry, the prayers and thoughts of many, many people. Not always, but in my case, it took a lot of prayer to get me there. And I had another mate called Jeff Eggins, who has since gone to be with the Lord, and he also confessed that he was praying for me too, for my salvation, and praying for my whole family and for my children. And my daughter found a Bible in the bookcase, Elena's older sister, and said, "Dad, can I read this?" And she confessed later that she was praying for me, and she hadn't been near a church. She was praying for the whole family. And the thing that I left out of my talk last week, where I spoke about two different cases where the Lord was involved in ministry to people out of the blue. One was, for those who weren't here, was when I was in Noosa Heads one time, and the Lord prompted me to pray for a lady in a wheelchair in a very powerful way, and I ended up through his intervention, nothing to do with my righteousness, I ended up on my knees in front of her praying in the main street of Noosa that she would be healed and that she would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what happened after that, but last week I told that story, and also told a story of Joe Dwyer, who spoke to a man on the street in Boston in the USA, and how they both collapsed on the ground. Such was the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that descended on them both, and how he was shocked and surprised, and so was the fellow, obviously, that was being prayed for, who yelled out, "What was that?" So those two encounters and the threads of what I've just been saying about the prayers for my own salvation is what I wanted to very briefly touch on this morning. Last week, the bit that I left out was a little line that I had in my notes called "Stitches on the Path to the Cross." You know, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a powerful image in my mind. It represents a place where a shaft of unbroken light comes from the throne room of God to earth, and those who enter into that space feel the presence of God and never be the same again, and they're born again. And I just wanted to make the point that each one of us, when we pray for somebody, puts another stitch in the pathway to the cross for the people we're praying for. The unsaved brothers and sisters and acquaintances and loved ones and people who are dismissive of the word of God. You know, your prayers are so powerful. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful, the word says, and a righteous woman, obviously. Don't stop praying for the ones that you want to lead to the cross. And don't be disheartened, because quite often you'll never see the point of salvation of someone you're praying for. You will meet them again, I'm sure, but actually the steps, the stitches in the pathway to the foot of the cross where the light from the throne room of God comes down in power from heaven. You personally play a part and have a part to play in that through prayer, encouragement, love, acts of kindness, all in the name of Jesus. My friend John in Brisbane was a drug addict. His mother prayed for him for 20 years. He was in a destructive relationship with his family, smashing things whenever he'd go around to the house, and I think he got ice at the end. Just before an incredibly destructive, and a prayerful mother and a prayerful sister was just beyond imagination that the son could turn out the way he had. So destructive. I can't begin to tell you what had happened, what he did to his mother. His mother stayed faithful. His sister went through a few dry gullies in the relationship and decided that she wasn't going to go near him again, but the mother stayed faithful, and the prayer continued, and the whole church prayed. And one night, just before I came down from Brisbane, here I was in a different church over near Wollongabba. We had a group of people meet there for some reason in this church to praise the Lord, and here was this guy. He looked different. His face was different. He just came over and gave me a hug, and I just stood there like this. I couldn't believe how much the Lord had transformed him and changed him through the power of the Holy Spirit, that had just completely reformed his life and changed him because of the power of God and the amazing love and grace of our Father in heaven. And now he's ministering to other drug addicts all over Brisbane, and he's formed his own group of people that go out ministering to others. So God is in the business of changing hearts, and he'll use each one of us in the process if we make ourselves available. He will give you a sign to go and do his work through the word of God, through prayer. Don't forget to pray. Pray and read the word before you do anything else each morning. And seek earnestly after the will of God. The word that I want to bring you this morning is from Titus 3, verse 4. And this is about your own salvation. It's a powerful word. I was led to it in an unusual way, but it's certainly for this morning. But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. You've been born again, and you've been washed clean in the sight of God, and renewed us by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. May God bless you all. I'm just going to ask Maggie to come forward now and bring a word from God.
Thank you, Richard, for that encouraging word. Last week, we took a little bit of time to let go of some of the things in our lives from the past year that may have been taking up unnecessary space in our lives, so that we could create opportunity for the Spirit to move in our lives this year in different ways with his presence and his grace. There was opportunity to write down whatever needed to be let go of and given as an offering to Jesus. Now, at the end of the service, I took all of those written things that you put down home, and without reading them, I put them into my offering bowl and I burnt them as an offering to Jesus. So everything that you wrote down last week is gone. You no longer own it. It has been given as an offering to the Lord. But at the end of the service, Rob came up to me and he said, God is saying, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And he wasn't quite sure where it went from there, but I looked it up because when he was speaking, I felt my spirit jump within me and I thought, this is a word from the Lord for us today. And the actual reading comes from Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now that really made my heart sing and I thought, this is exciting because I knew this was a word from the Lord for us in this congregation for this year. And if you're visiting with us, this is something that you can take with you because you are here as God is beginning the outpouring. So the outpouring is for you as well as those of us who live here. It aligned with a beautiful picture that God had given to me at a conference about 7 weeks ago. And the picture was of our church. It was just a beautiful picture. And there was this spirit. There was a spirit like a river. And it was flowing through us. And then as it was flowing, it began to flow out from us, out into the community, out beyond our borders. And in an essence, it was going to do the work that Richard was just sharing about. Touching lives, changing lives, transforming lives. And as that spirit was going out, we were going out with that. It was the Spirit of God that was doing the transforming, not us, but we were the vessels that he was going to be working through. And as I looked at that picture, I saw this cover over it. You know those carports that you have, that you just have where you can park your car under? It was like a carport held over our church. It was a little bit on a slant. And as I was looking at that, the words of the Lord spoke to my spirit and he says, I will pour my spirit over this church and will flow beyond her borders and for a short time I will cover her and protect her as she learns to stand and walk in the spirit. It was a beautiful picture of what God desires to do in our midst and it really made my heart sing. So is what God wanting to do here a new thing? Is this a new thing? No, it isn't. This is what God is wanting to do through his bride for many years. And there have been moments, even in the history of this church, where that has happened powerfully. It's something he wants to do in every congregation. Now, in John 14, 19, Jesus said, soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again and you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I'm living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I'm living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will passionately be loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. But there was more than that. It says in the book of Acts, Peter shares Joel's God-given prophecy that says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will reveal startling signs and wonders in the sky above and mighty miracles on the earth below. As Peter reminded the people of the prophecy again from Joel, he also told them in Acts 2, 36, repent and turn to God, and each one of you must be baptized into the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, to have your sins removed. Then, listen to the word then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your families, which is what Richard was talking about, you and your families, for those yet to be born and for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself.
Now, that's including you. It's including your families. It's including the families out there. It's including every person who would make the effort to turn to God and let Him speak into their lives, and they would receive what He has given them, what He wants to give them. That includes our church and those beyond our borders. So the picture that I receive from the Spirit is not necessarily a new one, but it is a fresh one to us today. Joel had prophesied long ago the Spirit would be poured out. Jesus had promised that if we would believe in His name and love Him, that He and His Father would come to live in us. Peter indicated that if we repent, meaning that we turn back to Christ, away from the things and the people that have taken His place in our lives, the Holy Spirit will be given to each of us. Many promises given to each of us. The Spirit is given. However, the flow of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, cannot flow easily in our lives if there are obstacles in the way. It would be like a water pipe that's got an obstruction from a blockage, and the flow of the water may trickle through a little bit, but the full flow will be held back until the blockage is removed. And that's true of each of us as individuals, but also as the bride of Christ. The flow of the Spirit in our midst is not dependent on the leadership of this church, though their roles are very important. The flow of the Spirit in our midst is dependent on our combined, intentional response of love and obedience to Jesus. He said, "Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will passionately be loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you." Now, the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of Christ within us. Jesus stands on the right hand of the Father, interceding for each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. None of us are here just for ourselves. We are called to love the Father with all our hearts and soul and mind and strength and spirit. And we are called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And when we love our neighbors, we love ourselves. We see what happens, as Anne was sharing earlier, the changes of transformation in people's lives. That's part of the Spirit moving. We are in community with the Father, Son, and Spirit, but we are also in community with each other. And it is in this context that the Spirit is manifest in our midst and will flow through us and beyond our borders. Now, this is exciting. It's a wonderful gift and privilege to unpack and to delight in. But to enjoy the gift of the fullness, to the fullest, we need to choose to intentionally walk in obedience and surrender to the Father in and through Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss what the Spirit of God wants to do in and through us this year. So we need to let go of any blockages that could stop that from happening. What do those blockages look like? Well, they may be unrepented sin. They may be unbelief. They may be laziness in our relationship with the living God. They may be distractions that take our priority. They may be busyness, even in good things. They may be past experiences that cause fear or unresolved forgiveness of things that we have not been able to release. It can be anything that you personally know is true to you. Only you know what those things are. And I think it would be good for us this morning just to take a couple of minutes and come before the Father and ask Him to show us if there is anything there that may stop us from being open vessels to His Spirit to flow through. This is different to last week. Last week we were talking just our personal issues. But this week we're talking about the issues in our lives that may have a corporate effect. So we need to come before the Lord. What is it in our lives that may be stopping the Spirit from moving in our church as a body of Christ today? And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do that. And at the end of that, you're invited to come forward as individuals, but also representing the corporate church to receive anointing of oil, which Richard and I will do. And I also have scripture verses there. They're all different. And I've been praying over those verses so that as you have been anointed, that you will receive a verse. And that verse is God's verse for you personally. If you don't understand it straight away, they're all verses of encouragement. If you don't understand them straight away, then take them home into your quiet space, into your prayer closet, and ask the Lord to unpack that for you, because it is a personal message to each person from Him to you. So let's just take a couple of minutes just to come before the Lord. What is stopping us, Lord, from truly being your vessels for the flow of your Spirit in this place and beyond our borders? Father, we ask that you will open our hearts and mind and spirit to truly grasp what it might be that stops us from being the woman who sets up a care for daughters who have been abused. What would stop us from sharing your love with someone who is broken and hurting? What would stop us from loving till it costs us something in the lives of others? What would stop us from being a healing church where your Spirit flows and flows out into the community? So many broken lives that need you. So many opportunities to be your hands and feet. Reveal our hearts, Lord. Grant us the courage to be real before you, and to let go of whatever it is, so that your Spirit can flow through us in a fresh new way. As you feel ready, please come forward to receive the anointing of oil. Now, for those who may not be familiar with the anointing of oil, there's nothing magical in the oil. It's just a symbol of the blessing of the Spirit upon you. The real power is in the blessing spoken over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you receive from him this morning all that he desires to pour into your life. Please come as you are ready, and as you've been anointed, there is a bowl here with the scriptures. Please just take one. Whatever it is, it's going to be the right one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your anointing upon us. We thank you that you know us by name, that you know every hair on our head, that you have great things in store for us, whether we are in this church, or whether in Cambodia, or whether in Canberra, or whether in the Blue Mountains. It doesn't matter where we are, your anointing goes with us. May we be open to your Spirit as you lead and guide us. May many come to know how much you love them through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.